We pray. Lord, we are to be the salt of the earth. We are to live in the presence of your marvelous grace. Enlighten us to the power of your word to see that we are your people, and to you we are worth a great deal. And so we worship today, considering our worth and what it is to be worthy in your sight. Amen. This morning, our gospel is the basis of our text from the ninth chapter of the book of Mark. So what is your worth? What is it that gives you worth in life? The gospel this morning starts with that discussion among his disciples with one who is prophesying and casting out. And we see this similarity between the Old Testament and, yes, the gospel reading this morning. But it ends with those powerful words, "Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." What is it to be salty, as this text talks about, as Jesus was sharing with his disciples? You see, the reality is that salt was a commodity that was worth its weight in gold at the time of our Lord. It played a significant role in the culture of the time. And yes, that's where the phrase "worth your salt" comes from. If you were to look up the meaning, you would find that it was used at Roman times. Salt was how soldiers were oftentimes paid. Think about that. That's how they were paid. They received a stipend of salt for their duty. It had great value. They were paid a monthly salarium. Salarium comes from the word salt, and it means salary in our world today. A good soldier was worth his weight in salt. Think about that. At the end of our text today, Jesus says, "Have salt in yourselves. Be at peace with one another." Now, I realize in our culture and in our day, salt doesn't have that kind of same significance. But if you put it in the perspective of our text, we have great worth before our God. It is interesting because as I thumbed through a number of commentaries, there was a familiar phrase that kept coming up. This is a difficult text. And I wanted to say, tell me about it. Yes. It's a difficult text because you have one prophesying, casting out demons. And there are those who are concerned about that. And Jesus says to them, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able to soon afterwards speak evil of me." Yes. And then there's that section in the middle, verses 42 to 47. We really don't like to hear those words. Where there he says, "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell and to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. If we take that text literally, none of us has hands or feet or eyes, because we would have followed those things, and what would be left? That's why it's a difficult text. Do you ever think what kind of world we'd be in? Maybe a better world. We could neither see nor hear nor hurt one another, right? It'd be the blind leading the blind. You see, the reality is that sin leads us to places we do not want to go. Sin dries up our saltiness in our own lives. And Jesus talks about the temptations to sin. It's a negative theme. And then Jesus turns it all around. After he lays all this out for his disciples to think about, then there comes verse 49. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but as the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Yes, a reminder of Isaiah 66, where there we read in 24 these words, and they shall go out and look on the dead bodies of the men who have rebelled against me. For their worm shall not die, their fire shall not be quenched, and they shall be an abhorrence to all flesh. Yes, just before these words in Isaiah, the prophet speaks about the consummation of the end of time. And when Jesus gives us these words, he's giving us a very important warning that sin, unchecked in our lives, will destroy us. You see, the real issue is self. It appears that Jesus is talking about a kingdom that is made up of mutilated Christians. Isn't that the reality of the gospel? You see, the reality is that God has done something about our sinfulness, about what we really deserve, but we don't get. Because His grace is sufficient in our lives. Look at what Christ did on our behalf. The kingdom is made up of restored and healed people. People who have been washed in the blood of Christ. And you see, that's the good news that you and I share. Yes, a difficult text. It would take us far more than the time allotted here for a sermon to really get into what all of this is talking about here. But there's a simple truth here. Jesus came into our world. He came into our world not to destroy, but to save. And that's the good news for you and for me. Stumbling is a very serious problem we all have. And when we stumble, or when we cause another to stumble, yes, there are usually consequences. And too often in this culture in which we live, there is too much depending on self, relying on self. And it leads us down the wrong path. Jesus, throughout his time with the apostles and as he shared, he reminds us that he came not to condemn. not to condemn us, but to save us. That's why we all know that beautiful passage from John 3:16. See, when we speak about our hands, our feet, our eyes, yes, they are the instruments that cause us to sin or lead us into sin. But Jesus wants to go deeper than just the hands, the feet, the eyes. He wants to go to the core. Yes, and it brings to what we're talking about in our Bible study. These are heart issues. For sin is always a matter of the heart. So we ask the question, what does a believer work to God? Jesus speaks about stumbling. And he speaks about his desire that no one be lost. What about when we cause another to sin? Again, Jesus reminds us that is not what he wants from us. You see, the reality is if you read your New Testament, if you read your Bible closely, there's a powerful message for every believer that we are worth the salt of the earth. You are more precious than gold to your God. And yes, salt had various uses at the time of our Savior. And he would speak about that time and time again. And I know it's hard for us to see that in a world in which salt is no longer that valued commodity. But it was a metaphor that many could relate to. And so this gospel reading ends with some very powerful words. Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. How do we do that? In Christ. And through what Christ has accomplished for us. We are that new creation brought about because of his death and resurrection. Know that you are worthy and that God sees you of great worth in the kingdom. That's why he came. To seek, to save. And you know, when I think about that, a number of hymns come to mind to me. As I was preparing, I kept having hymns ramble through my mind. Don't try to look at that. But the reality is, there's a lot of powerful things out there to remind us that we are of great worth to our God who reconciled us through the cross of Christ. Sometimes when we don't feel our worth, sometimes when we're at our worst, be reminded of who you are because of what Christ has done for you. He sees you as worth far more than every one of us really realize. You see, God sees you as so important. You are worth every grain of salt. And so he says, have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. You and all of us around one another make a difference by taking this text to heart. We can change where a lot of things are today if we allow that salt to be utilized in our lives. Amen.